Blog Talk Radio.
One year ago, I was touch and go. Time made me see of the mystery, taught me that love and time will change your mind and make it right. Bring your darkness to the light. My heart sings in the night. My love I bring to you.
All right. All right. I'm back. And my name is Yamsuf Harif, and this is the Real Talk for Real People Study Show. Katrin and I, my brother and friend from New York City, has designed a study program to give you a simplified, comprehensive understanding of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub, and praise his holy name. And all this is within us, praise him. All our inner fiber praise his holy name. It should be. But these studies help enhance, help increase your understanding, help you in to evolve into not who you want to be, but who your creator would have you be, which is the best, let me put it in so many words, would be the best you that you could possibly be. Because we feel that leaning to your own understanding by the studies of the creator, the Almighty, Yah, if you diverge from that, those studies, it leaves you in a very vulnerable position. Vulnerable in so many facets, multifaceted. Vulnerable to your enemies and friends alike. So these studies help you integrate these studies into your very fiber and being. See, the Most High is not your good luck charm. You don't put him on the back burner. He doesn't come second to any. He should be first and foremost in your dealings with anything, for as that is concerned. Things that you may find minute. As King Solomon said, it is the little foxes that spoils the grapes. You may feel that they're insignificant, those little matters, but all matters are important to the Creator. So, Katri and I, we give you a comprehensive, in-depth study, and we try to help you facilitate the ingrainment of these studies and that they become an innate part of you. They are innate, they're second nature to you, and before you do anything, say anything, or make a move, that you are contemplative of your relationship with the Creator. And sometimes when you have, and you should all the time, seek his information and your request as to all your decision making. And we strongly encourage that. No matter if they are great or small, all things are important to the Creator. There are no small matters when it comes to the matter of your soul and the people that are round about you, whom you said that you hold dear to you. So please take these studies and adhere to them. It will help you in your advancement. We help you with paradigm shifts, meaning that we take you from what you've been falsely taught and expose you to how you should be taught and how the lesson should be taken. It's kind of hard to have your enemy teach you a lesson and think you'll get the full value of that lesson. You can't have your enemy teaching you a lesson and think you will get full value of that lesson. Because most of the time, your enemy don't even know what they're talking about when they're talking about you. When they're talking about your historical study, they have not the slightest idea what they're talking about. They're making up stuff. So sometimes that's why some of you are totally confused about everything. That's why sometimes some of you think that the Most High is a good luck charm. You can take him out whenever you want him, or you can set him on the back burner. The Most High don't sit on nobody's back burner, and he certainly ain't nobody's good luck charm. Those are the studies that we try to share with you in these studies. Okay. So, but before we get started, I'd like to make contemporary comments on ongoing subject matters. Conscious Hebrew Israelites ought to be very far advanced in their studies and their application of these studies, that they have come to some firm conclusions. Although we love our fellow Hebrew brothers and sisters, whom are not aware of who they are, and are doing everything but the wrong thing, and we're aware of the oppressor, namely the universal white race supremacists, we're aware of them. And unfortunately, we have to come to some conclusion. See, you can't mistreat anybody. You shouldn't mistreat anybody. But even that being said, you have to be cognizant of who you hold close to you. I'm not saying don't love on your brothers and sisters whom are unconscious of who they are. But unfortunately, because of their unconsciousness, they have become toxic, poisonous, ugly, and unforgiving. They are totally confused about everything, and they're willing to kill you over anything. They're not on your side. No, I'm not saying don't love them. Don't treat them right. Don't try to show them right by your life and by the Most High's word. But you can't draw them in completely and foolhardily, because these people are like the walking dead. They're sort of like the invasion of the body snatched. It's sort of like Rip Van Winkle went into a deep sleep and woke up and don't know what's going on. These people can be dangerous. We encourage you to pray for them. We encourage you to do what you can for them, but don't put your life at risk until they have become conscious, until they have become plugged in. Because conscious brothers and sisters who are plugged in by virtue of these studies know they are obligated and they're duty bound to love each other in spite of their unconsciousness. But even that being said, they're duty bound to hold those that are dear, conscious to them, much closer, much more closer. Because these brothers and sisters should be duty bound like you to do everything that the Most High mandated. Should be. And even that being said, you should be cognizant. And surely you must understand that the universal white race supremacists are not your friend. They have never been your friend, and nor are they looking to be your friend. As I said, you must be cognizant of who to hold close to you and who to love at a distance. And I'm not saying you should mistreat anyone. But I'm not saying that you should be a fool either. Know who's on your team. As a matter of fact, know who's on the team of the Most High. Not by virtue of their lip service, but by virtue of their actions. And that being said, hold them close and dear to you. Because unfortunately, our unconscious brothers and sisters have become toxic and poisonous. They say anything, they do anything, they act anyway. They have a tendency to show up and show out and showboat and offer no substance for anything. And they'll kill you over anything. That's why I caution you. Be very circumspect in your dealings with our unconscious brothers and sisters. I'm not saying don't love them. I'm not saying don't treat them right, but be cognizant of their thinking. Be cognizant of their hearts. When I say think in their spirit, always be cognizant. It's not a game, people, and it's something serious. Now, I know some of you may have heard the goings on with Alec Baldwin. Alec Baldwin inadvertently shot someone on a studio. From what I've heard, it wasn't any fault of his own. But you have toxic and poisonous people, such as the case of Donald Trump Jr., who's taken this opportunity to jump on Alec Baldwin. It's to say his daddy was something special. And I must agree. His daddy is something special, not in the way he would like to believe, just like he's something special, and not in the way he'd like to believe. I'm talking about short boy special. Yeah, they special, but not like they think they are. And so my heart goes out to the woman that was lost her life on that studio set for Alec Baldwin. It just goes to show you. You just can't trust everything and everyone. If it had been me on that studio set, I'd have looked at the weaponry. I'd have looked in the chamber. I'd have looked and see whether there are live rounds in the chamber. I'm not taking anybody's word in it, especially when I'm pointing a weapon in someone's direction. I mean, the final analysis in my heart goes out to Mr. Baldwin. You must be responsible. You can't just take it for chance and a happenstance. Everybody got your best interest at heart. Because apparently someone didn't have his best interest at heart. Someone didn't have that woman's best interest at heart. And there she lies. And there Alec Baldwin greets. And I said that to say this. When it comes to our Hebrew brothers and sisters who are conscious, who are cognizant, who trust in the Most High innately, that they realize he's not their good luck charm and he's not second fiddle to anyone. There are some brothers and sisters that who are unconscious, and there are some brothers and sisters who said they are conscious but don't act in a conscious manner. If that is the case, just be careful. Just be cognizant. But that does not necessitate that you abuse, mistreat, and or dominate them in any way. That's not us. That's not who we are. And that's certainly not who we should be. We're family. Whether unconscious, whether conscious, is not cognizant of they're not doing what the Most High says. Set an example, not only in your words, but in your actions, in your humility, in the way you comport yourself, in the things that you said. And so when men or women are drawn to you, you turn around and point to the Most High. See, we need to stop with the cussing, fussing, and fighting, and carrying on and whatnot. There's too much of that. There's too much murder among us. But even that being said, we need to be careful when dealing with these entities that are conscious, as they said, but the evidence doesn't suggest that. That are unconscious, walking dead, an invasion of the body snatchers. Just be careful. As again, my name is Yom Suf Arif, and this is the Real Talk for Real People show. I'm going to bring my brother on and let him make his commentaries. Then I'm going to bring Sister Yehuda. But I want Cartier to hit why the iron's heart in this just the things I just spoke about. So I'm going to give him the opportunity, and no disrespect to Sister Yehuda of Detroit, but I want him to hit why the iron is hot. I'm going to bring her right on. Cartier, may the Most High bless you, brother. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Bless you, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless his holy name. All praise to the Holy One of Yisrael, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Shalom, family. May the Most High bless you. Yam Sufari. May the Most High bless you and your family. Sister Yehudi. May the Most High bless you as well and your family.
Thank you very much, my brother and friend.
I got a special guest, too. I'm going to bring him on, but I'm going to hit while the fire is hot, like you say, because the Most High is great and awesome. Because it seemed like we was having that conversation earlier, a couple of brothers on the phone.
Right.
We have to put the Most High first. And our people have a problem with letting go of idols and not trusting in Yah, which is why Yah commands us to return to him with all our heart, soul, and might, and to trust in him. And it's a hard thing to do when you tell somebody that you need to take your problems to Yah first. You need to fast, you need to pray, and sincerely. Dictate and outline your problems to the Most High. Put your problems in the Most High's hand first and watch how he works wonders for you. And a lot of our people have a hard time doing that. But there's so many examples in the scriptures where our ancient fathers did exactly that. Matter of fact, we're reading about an incident right now with Esther and Mordecai, where they had to fast and pray to the Most High before they took any action. And as a result of them fasting and praying, The Most High fought their battles for them. They didn't really have a plan to work against Haman's plan to annihilate all the tribe of Yehuda within the territory of the Medo-Persian Empire. However, the Most High, when we appeal to him, we cry out to him, he comes to our defense in situations that are big and, like you say, situations that are small. So I've learned to trust in Yah, to call upon Yah whenever I'm in trouble, and any kind of trouble that I'm in, I learn to rely on him first. And he may lead me to counsel or guide me to somebody who can help me. But I make it a habit to appeal to Yah first based on, my relationship with the Most High and what I've read and what I've studied about our ancient fathers. That is the solution to our problem. And it's funny that you tied Alec Baldwin into your dissertation because Hollywood is wicked. And a lot of times they make sacrifices, right? I was in Mexico, and I'll tell you about this documentary I saw about witchcraft in America. And it's funny how these actors, like primary actors, leading men actors, somehow wind up killing some woman in real life.
Right.
Like Wagner and a guy that played Beretta. And there's a whole list of them that have killed women. But I think it's part of that satanic sacrificial ritual that they, do in Hollywood, because Hollywood is wicked. But it goes beyond Hollywood. You could talk about the Kennedys and Chappaqua, like it's a pattern within America where they make sacrifices of their women. And I don't know what that's all about, but it's a continuum. It goes on all the time. It's almost like what we saw with Gabrielle, what's her name? The girl that was missing?
Gabby, what's her last name? I can't remember. Patello or something like that.
But you know what I'm talking about. Her man was laundry. They found him.
Right.
But a lot of times this is ritualistic stuff that the media doesn't really, go in depth upon. But I know for sure that Hollywood is wicked. And what happened on that movie set probably wasn't an accident at all.
Right. Probably another sacrifice. That's why I said every time this Halloween stuff gets close by, you'll start seeing a lot of strange goings on and strange happenings and so on and so forth. And that's why I strongly advise people to stay as far away from that holiday as humanly possible and have no doing with that holiday in any shape, form, or fashion.
And why was the woman killed, not the guy that got wounded? The guy only got wounded.
Right.
Well, there's something peculiar about
it. It is. It's rather odd, Cartrell.
No question. But you said a mouthful, man. I ain't going to add much to it. Because what you said was hot enough to meditate on. We need to
thank
watch
you very
everybody.
Much, my brother.
Everybody. No doubt.
Who do you have as a guest before I switch over to Sister Huda?
My son, my top student, Yirmiyahu Kobal Tsurua, the mighty one.
My brother, mighty man from Arizona. What's up, Yom Yahu? May the Most High bless you and your family.
Is he there? I don't know. He might have dropped off.
Okay. All right. Well, without further ado, let us bring our lovely sister on from Detroit, Sister Yehuda. Sister Yehuda, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Yeah. Shalom, shalom, brothers. That was a nice introduction with both of you. And
shalom,
both of y'all. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, may the Most High bless you.
May the Most High bless you.
Thank you. Thank you. I can rejoice today because the Most High has bestowed such greatness on me. And when I mean greatness, it's his gracious love. I was explaining to Brother Cartrell how I'm looking forward to move, how people will try to knock you down, but the Most High has built me up.
Amen.
It's right. It's fasting, and it takes to go to him, go to our Creator. And I'm so thankful, so thankful. So with that being said, you said a mouthful. I'm going to relinquish the mic. Hopefully the young brother can come in, because I always like to listen to the young ones, have great ideas and aspirations. And I thank you, brothers, for this platform. And I thank the Most High.
And we're happy and praise the Most High, all that, all our soul and all that's within us, Sister Yehudi, for you are getting the blessings from the Most High.
Yes. Better
no
than
doubt.
Money.
Amen.
Right.
All right. All right. Well, fellow students.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. Let me give a special shout out to Ima Hador, been ill. She admitted herself in emergency care, hopefully all right. Her pressure, I guess, went up. She was having chest pains. So meditate.
Okay.
And prayer sent out to Ima.
Well.
Talk to her daughter.
Well, here's a good opportunity to put our prayer skills to uses. Sister
mm-hmm.
Yehudi, will you do the honors and we'll pray along with you for our Ima?
Ima Hador, my sister, my mom, a friend, who's a warrior, who loves her people, who fights. I ask you, Most High, by your will, to sustain her life. Her fight isn't over. For her to take care of herself. She has a wonderful family, not only blood family, but blood family, your people.
Amen.
And I ask you, Almighty God, to keep her well, keep her safe, that we can hear her voice again with her strength, her determination, because the will she has is of you. Like she said, I'm just a servant. So I ask you, keep her. Keep her in your prayer, and we pray that whatever your will is to sustain her life. I love her. She's been a great friend. Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Praise God. All right, fellow students. That was a lovely prayer. I feel like clothing, but I can't. Let's get started. Prayer was so lovely, I got a little filled up, but I got to keep on studying. There's folks out there
right.
Come for the lesson. But and seriously, though, fellow students,
mm-hmm.
Please consider Sister Ima Hador, and Sister Yehudi gave a wonderful prayer for her to the Most High. Please consider her privately when you get off the air, when you, at the end of your day, and you make your prayers to the Most High, please reconsider her again in your prayers. We thank you. All right, fellow students, turn to Queen Esther chapter 8, Queen Hadassah / Esther chapter 8. And, you know, the Most High synchronized stuff, and Katria always says this, and it's certainly true. The Most High always synchronized things. Now, based upon what Sister Yehudi said, people were standing, getting in the way and being messy and toxic and poisonous. But the Most High got them out of her way. And the same thing is happening here, transpiring here in these studies. Haman and those that had animosity, such as the universal white race supremacists of this time, but those that at that time period had animosity against our Hebrew brothers, not only Haman, but it was other entities involved, co-signers, instigators, backstabbers. And they were involved in the chicanery, too, that was going on. But let's see how it turns out for them. If you're plugged into the Most High by virtue of those that wonderful prayer and fasting that Mordecai and the Hebrew brothers and Queen Esther beseeched the Most High on, let's see how it turned out to their enemies. Not only y'all thinking it's just Haman. No, it wasn't just Haman with the mess. It was a whole lot of Hamans with the mess at that time. Let's see what happened. May the Most High bless us and open our eyes and direct and open our steps and order our steps. My apology. I hope y'all have gotten there. If you have, we're going to get there. Now, that very day, King Ahasuerus, the very day Mordecai was, not Mordecai, but Haman was put, the very day Haman was put to death, he gave the property of Haman, the enemy of the Hebrew Israelites, to Queen Hadassah / Esther. Mordecai presented himself to the king, for Queen Hadassah / Esther had revealed how he was really, she finally told the king, that's my daddy. I'm a Hebrew Israelite. That's who I am. That's what I do. And I ain't ashamed. And so by virtue of that, Mordecai was presented to him. He wanted to know the man that helped this woman, this young lady to grow up to be the beautiful, smart, and intelligent woman she became. He wanted to lay witness to this man. This man helped raise you to be the beautiful, wise, and understanding, and humble woman that you are, accommodating, and so on, and supportive. You know what I liked about Queen Hadassah Esther? In spite of the fact this man being of a foreign nation, she knew what side her bread was buttered on. See, a lot of our women, unfortunately, a lot of our men, unfortunately, the onus is just not on the women. The onus is on our brothers and sisters alike, because that's why we're in this captivity alike. You know, a lot of sisters want to point fingers at the brothers. A lot of brothers want to point fingers at the sisters. But what they really should be doing is pointing fingers at each other. And the reason why I said that, because we're all in this together. And we need to all learn that whatever affects one affects the other. Just because you're a sister and you're under the system and they give you little kibbles and bits, don't think you're getting anywhere. And just because you're a brother, you're under this system, and they're giving you little kibbles and bits, you think you're getting anywhere. We have to unify together. We have to come together.
Also,
yes, go ahead, Katrin.
When you point your finger at someone, three fingers are pointing back at you.
You better believe it. And that's the truth. So we need to stop all this trying to berate the sisters, and the sisters trying to berate the brother and make them feel less than. As a matter of fact, all of us, it's inexcusable for all of us, because our forefathers and mothers were participants in the behavior that got us on lockdown. So it's incumbent upon us as females and males to join forces together and stop the finger pointing and think just because you're a sister or a brother that in itself is going to get you close to high. Close to the Most High. We need each other. Each one of us got a piece of the puzzle, and we need to combine together to put that puzzle together to get us out of this situation we have come to find ourselves in this universal captivity. So stop with the nonsense. Do like Queen Esther and Mordecai. They knew what was important. Unification. Work together. Work together, being plugged in together. Helps the whole nation. They understood this. Please try to see the bigger picture at play here, please. So here's what she does. Now, she could have been selfish and said, I got mine, whatever. Daddy need to get here. But now that's not the kind of woman she was. She knew unification was in the best interest of the nation. So she put forth her father. And the king slipped off his ring because he was impressed with this impressionable woman, which he had taken back from Haman. And he gave it to Mordecai, her father. And Queen Esther / Hadassah put Mordecai in charge of Haman's property. She put her father in charge of Haman's property. Now, Queen Hadassah / Esther spoke to the king again and falling to his at his feet and weeping. Now, see, this woman looking out for everybody. And that's why we got to be like this. We all got to be like Queen Hadassah / Esther. We all got to be like Mordecai, her father, which was exemplary. The hallmark of a Hebrew Israelite is looking out for one another. Not being, I got mine, you better get yours. Understanding the codification and the dynamics of the relationship with Yah is unification. The codification is unification, not selfishness, not I got man, I don't give a damn about y'all. I'm something special, and certainly you may be, but not like the way you think you are. So she puts herself in a tight spot again. She apparently went to the king a second time, and going to him this second time, falling at his feet and weeping, and beseeching him to avert the evil plot by Haman, the Agagite, against the Hebrew Israelites. The king, because she had went to him unannounced again, the king, because he loves this dynamic woman, this hallmark of womanhood, the king extended the golden scepter to Queen Hadassah slash Esther. And Queen Hadassah slash Esther arose and stood before her husband, the king. And she has this humble attitude. If it please your majesty, she said. And if I have won your favor, the woman put in work to get the man's favor. Why is that? If you out there, husband, if you out there, you listening. Listen to this. You need to be putting in work to gain favor for your spouse. Well, I got him. I don't need to be doing nothing else. I got her. I need to be doing. You need to be putting in work. The same thing it took to get her or him is the same thing it takes to keep them. This hallmark of womanhood is showing you that. She said, and she didn't know it. She knew it didn't drop on his head. She knew it didn't drop on King Ahasuerus' head. She knew she put in work. And she spoke to that. She said, if I won your favor, in conjunction with that, the proposal seems right to your majesty. And because I know I put in work, if I am pleasing to you, let dispatches be written, countermanding those were written by Haman, son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, embodying his plot to annihilate the Hebrew Israelites throughout the king's provinces. For how can I bear? She said, how can I say I got mine, they ain't got theirs, it's all right. She said, how can I bear to see the disaster which will befall my people? How can I bear to see the instructions of my kinfolk, my kindred? These are my kind. That's why we got to all think like that. Then King Ahasuerus said to King Queen Hadassah slash Esther, in conjunction, Mordecai, the Hebrew Israelites, her father, I have given Haman's property to Queen Hadassah slash Esther. And he, Haman, has been impaled on a stake for scheming against the reaping what they sowed, falling into their own trap. If you're plugged in with Yah, that happens, for scheming against the Hebrew Israelites. In addition to that, you may further write with regards to the Hebrew Israelites as you see fit. However you want to put it is fine by me. Write it in my name and seal it with my signet ring. For an edict that has been written in the king's name and sealed with the king's signet may not be revoked. So here's what he's saying. Now, I hadn't already set it up because I didn't really know what was going on with Haman. And that really can't be revoked. But look here, through Yah, I'm going to put y'all in a situation so y'all can do what y'all got to do. And y'all have the full support of this government. I'm letting everybody know that y'all got full support of this government. I'm putting my signet ring to this. Now, I can't overact what I now already put out with Haman. But I'm going to, now Haman put that signet ring second in command on that. But I'm the king. I'm going to put my signet ring on this one. Not only that, everybody going to know if you go against, if you got a problem with those Hebrew Israelites, you got a problem with me. See, y'all ain't got to, see, some of y'all put in too much work. Only thing you had to do is plug into the Most High. Only, what did they do? What did they do to garner y'all's favor? They fasted for 3 days. They prayed for 3 days. They unified in that prayer and fasting. They plugged in. They ain't had to do no more. See, that's the problem. Some of us, we want to do too much. And that too much is too much of the wrong thing, not too much of the right thing. Because we think Yah is our good luck charm. We think Yah is second fiddle to everybody. Well, these people, our brothers and sisters, ancient times, show Yah ain't no good luck charm. It ain't second fiddle to anybody. And he shouldn't be. They got plugged in, and Yah heard them. Y'all hear you too. Yahweh hear you too. Get plugged in. Follow the codification. Cry to the Most High. Beseech the, raise your hand to the Most High. Sister Huda just told y'all. She fasted and prayed out to the Most High. And folk were laying traps with her, got caught up in their own traps. I didn't see it personally speaking. I'm sure Cartier didn't see it. I'm sure Aviyah didn't see it. I'm sure some of you students have seen it because you're going by codification. You're loving one another. You're working together with one another. You're unifying together. You're working as a team. Ain't no one man or one woman effort. It's a unified process at play here. See, like I said, y'all don't see the big picture. Y'all need to start seeing the big picture, what's going on here, the whole dynamic of the whole situation. So the king's scribes were summoned at that time. And on the 23rd day of the third month, that is the month of Sivan, and letters were written at Mordecai, all praise Yah. Mordecai dictated the letter to the Hebrew Israelites and to the satrap, the governors, the officials of the 127 provinces from Nubia, from India to Ethiopia, which was Nubia, to the province in their own languages, their own script, and their every people in their own language, and to the conjunction to the Hebrew Israelites in their script and language. He had them written in the name of King Ahasuerus, and ain't nobody going up against the king. Sealed with the king's, not that second ring, not the prime minister of Haman ring that Mordecai held, but with the king's signet. Letters were dispatched by mounted couriers riding steeds, the fastest horse in the country, using the king's service. Bread of royal, these were the fastest things around. They were in a hurry to get the message out. To this effect, the king has permitted, now here's what the king is saying, by the dictation of Mordecai and through the Most High, most importantly, the king has permitted the Hebrew Israelites of every city to assemble and fight for their lives. If any people or province attack them, they may destroy, massacre, and exterminate its armed forces together with women and children. Since you want to come at them, they got a right to defend themselves. Not only that, they can kill your women and children. And then they can take your possessions. On a single day, in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, namely on the 13th day of the 12th month, that is the month of Adar, the text of the document was to be issued as law in every single province. It was to be publicly displayed to all the people so that the Hebrew Israelites should be ready for that day to avenge themselves on their enemy, thanks to the Most High. The couriers mounted on the fastest thing around, war steeds, went out in urgent notice, urgent haste, at the king's command. And the decree was proclaimed in the fortress Shushan. Mordecai, her father, left the king present and be dignified, adorned in royal robes of blue and white, the king's second in command, just like Joseph in Mizraim, with a magnificent crown of gold and a mantle of fine linen and purple and wool. The city of Shushan rang with joy. They were happy. Yes, yes, yes. The Hebrew Israelites enjoyed light and gladness. All that anxiety, all that frustration, all that fear was taken off their shoulders. All that apprehension, thanks to the Most High. Happiness and honor in every province and every city, when the king's command and decree arrived, there was gladness and joy among the Hebrew Israelites. A feast and a holiday. See, that's stuff we need to be having. We want to have a holiday. They want to give you a holiday every month for everything. But you need to be searching out the holidays that we have and enjoy them, instead of searching out these nonsensical holidays, these witchcraft and sorceries holidays, such as the case of October the 31st, all this demonic and wickedness going on. Find these holidays. Won't you celebrate them? They're constructive and positive. There was gladness and joy among the Hebrew Israelites, a feast and a holiday. And many of the people of the land, they wanted to be Hebrew Israelites. Where's woo?
And you say, I've seen those people Hebrew Israelites over there. Oh, they're feeling good. They having a party. Oh, I want to be one.
What does that do? You got people who want to be Hebrew Israelites that wouldn't. What does that do? That draw all people unto the Most High. As long as you're plugged into the Most High and you're doing what the Most High tell you to do, you'll draw all men to the Most High. No, they can't be Hebrew Israelites because you're blooded in. But they want to be like us. So want to be like us, they want to get with us, and they want to do the right thing because we did the right thing. We follow the codification. We need to learn to follow the codification. For the fear of the Hebrew Israelites had fallen upon them, not by virtue of themselves. Be assured of that fact. The fear of the Hebrew Israelites fell on them because they followed the codification of the Most High. And the Most High laid hands on them. The Most High gave them fear, trepidation, anxiety, and distress. And the Most High would do that in your case. Stop trying to do things for yourself. Stop trying to lean to your own understanding. The Most High has gave you codification. Had to exercise yourself. Stop trying to argue with your enemies. Trying to march with your enemies. Trying to vote with your enemies. Trying to join all their organizations. Ain't none of that happen here. Did y'all see any of that happen here? Did they join the Persian movement? Did they join the gay movement of the Persian time? Did they join the Hebrew Lives Matter? No, they followed Yah. All that other stuff, you're doing too much. It is not working for you, and you ain't cute, and it ain't going to work for you. You've been doing that 402 years in this captivity. You've been looking for a vote every 2 years and every 4 years. To what? To another expectation for every 2 years and every 4 years. You know what the definition of insanity is? According to Alcoholics Anonymous, it's doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. Won't you try? You tried the rest. Why don't you try the best? The best that will work for you. My name is Yum Su. May the Most High bless you and direct you and order your steps. Cartier, my dear brother and friend, you have the mic.
All praise to the Holy One of Yisrael. Imagine the Israelites like back then going to Haman, asking him for civil rights and equal rights.
Yeah, he got something for him. He got a movement for him.
But the beauty about people back then was the fact that they worked together in unison. Mordecai told his daughter, Queen Esther / Queen Hadassah, what to do in a situation, and she was putting her life at risk in doing what her father Mordecai asked her to do, because she wasn't supposed to go before the king without him, without her having an appointment, and she did it anyway. But how did she do it? She asked for the support of all the Judites, all the Israelites that was in the land of the Persian Empire. And guess what? They did it. It wasn't just her fasting. It wasn't just Mordecai fasting. It was all the Israelites fasting in her behalf so that she could carry out what she had to carry out in behalf of the salvation of the nation. Because that date that they had was the killing date. You know, they got a movie called The Purge. It was about the purge, the Median Empire, of all the tribe of Judah. And he couldn't reverse it because he said whatever decree he put out, he can't reverse it. And lo and behold, the man that saved his life, Mordecai, turns out to be his wife's father. Why he didn't know that, I don't know. But lo and behold, he comes to find out the man that saved my life is also my father-in-law, which is why he became second in command. That's the right thing to do. That's a proper dowry. Oh, my man, your daughter, yo, half the kingdom. You can have it. Whatever you want is yours. And I got your back 100%. So he had to write another decree.
Right.
And the second decree was what? Self-defense. If they want to kill you, defend yourself with all the gusto you got, and I got your back.
Right.
Now, we have to have that mentality, but we can't have that mentality first, because Yah fights our battles for us, then we fight the battle.
Right. This may not obtain, but listening to both of you, I want to bring a point, not to get off subject.
Okay.
It made me think about how many people are rallying around Chappelle. He made a statement that there's more support for the homosexuals than there are for people of color.
You better believe it.
Certain people have come out, even Caucasians have come out to defend him.
Right.
But and that's who they are, the homosexuals have come out hard. He said exactly what was going to happen.
Right.
Where is his support? He's telling the truth. We've become a nation that was so scared. When you look at Hadassah, she could have lost her life. When do we become fearful of man? And not fearing the creator. And this
exactly.
is why I see a problem with our people. You were talking about that earlier.
Right.
It's like when they murdered Floyd right on television in the world. That's why I said Black Lives Matter only mattered that day. That's it. Because the whole world saw what was going on. It was up to us collectively to do something about it. I'm not saying marching or voting, all the stuff you said. I'm talking about helping our people, the homeless, different projects. We have so many gifts and talents. And some people say, well, the Most High, we're going to move out of this land, which is okay. But while we're here, every nation under the sun work together. I'm not saying they don't have problems. What is wrong with our nation, even though we're scattered? Why is there so much fear among us with man and not fear of the Most High? Of just working together. Where does mistrust come from? I mean, we can be analytical and talk about slavery and the laws have been passed and et cetera, so forth. But then, on the other hand, we're the only nation under the circumstances that have survived in ways that other nations probably wouldn't be able to. But yet, we have an internal problem. And that problem is, like you said all the time, go to him first.
Amen. Amen.
We have people with attitude. I'm not going to bow down. I'm not going to do this. I'm not. Why? Because you're not a man, you're not a woman. A lot of females upset. I'm not going to submit, or I'm not. And I'm saying, you know, take all that out of your vocabulary and look at what's going on in our community,
right.
Individual relationships, our children, our grandchildren, our relatives. Until we come to a point that maybe we're going to have to cry out. Maybe the Most High going to have us cry out, like you said in the scriptures, for us to change. But right now we can change. We can make some moral decisions to do the right thing. Hello.
Well, the only thing I can say, my dear sister and brother, thank you both for those wonderful comments. I think you didn't think it was on point, Sister Yehudi, what you said, but it's synchronized to what Katria, I just said. So
mm-hmm.
I don't see any difference from what you just said by what we said. You just gave it from a woman's perspective, and that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good thing.
What's funny to me is the last part that you read. When the people saw that the Most High gave us victory, they wanted to be Israelites.
Yep.
They wanted, and don't they do that now, want to be like us in this country?
Even in our down state, with all the problems we got, They want to dance like us, dress like us, sing like us, talk like us, walk like us. But at the same time, they're hating us.
Yes.
What did you say yesterday, Cottrell? It's a love-hate relationship.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Thin line. It's a thin line between love and hate.
It's 5 o'clock in the morning.
No. You keep talking.
No. A voice we know says, who is it? She opens up the door.
You hurt my ears. I'm so.
I'm sorry. I shut up. I'm sorry.
Don't get him started. I'm sorry.
Don't get me started. What's that, sister? Please don't.
Please don't.
Okay, our people know what to sing, though. Our people know what to sing.
Yes, we do know what to sing. Not sing, but sing.
Yeah, we sang.
I wasn't singing. I was singing.
No, brother, that was singing you were doing.
Well, all right, sister. If you and Katria done with your comments, we're waiting for a beautiful song. I can't sing it, but I certainly can listen to it.
I'm gonna give you credit. You are the best DJ ever, okay?
Thank you, sister. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
You just can't sing.
Oh, what you say? I know what you're saying. Long as I ain't singing and DJing, I'm good.
Yeah, right, darling.
You know, I'm swift. I picked up on that.
You know I had to pick on you. We joke around like that.
No doubt. But these songs ain't no joke.
They teach
us the spiritual way to reach or climb Jacob's ladder and reach up into the heavens and connect with the Most High. Because Most High's watching. He sees everything. He wondering what you're going to do in your times of trouble. You're going to call on me or you're just going to lean on your own understanding. So we have to formulate the habit of using our spiritual powers like our ancient fathers did in the time of Queen Esther and Mordecai. Mm-hmm. And these are lessons to be learned. My mother always said it. You can learn something from everybody, what to do and what not to do.
Amen.
I try to take out what we're supposed to do and do it. Not just watch what people do that's successful, but do it.
Mm-hmm.
And our people run from discipline. Discipline and instruction, those are the things that give us success. So Queen Esther, Mordecai, and the Israelites that were at that time had to be disciplined in what they were doing. Otherwise, they would have lost their lives.
Mm-hmm.
So we give thanks and praise to the Holy One of Israel. I believe we're in Psalms 106. And they do not give us an author for the composer of this psalm. But we give thanks anyway, because all these psalms are on the same level of spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about the glory of Yah, giving thanks and praise to Yah. This is what we do each and every day, which we should give glory, honor, and praise to our Creator.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise Yah. Give thanks to Yah, for he is good, and his loyal love endures. Who can adequately recount Yah's mighty acts or relate all his praiseworthy deeds? How blessed are those who promote justice and do what is right all the time, not some of the time, but all the time, promoting justice, doing praiseworthy deeds. Remember me, O Yah, when you show favor to your people, because we all need Yah's favor. Pay attention to me when you deliver. And why should Yah pay attention to you and deliver you? What works have you done to be worthy of Yah's favor? So you have to earn Yah's favor while we have our being. So I may see the prosperity of your chosen ones. Rejoice along with your nation. Did he say religion?
Uh-uh.
Did he say doctrine?
No.
Did he say camp? Synagogue?
No.
Temple?
No.
What did he say?
None of the above.
He said your nation. So we know this person that wrote this song had that national mindset. He was an Israelite all the way, and boast along with the people who belong to you. And that's our problem. We don't think that we belong to Yah. Do you know what? We are Yah's property. From the time he delivered us out of Egypt, we became his servants. Am I correct?
You better believe it.
That's the covenant that we have with Yah. He saved us. He said, I'm claiming you as my property. But guess what? There's people who's claiming us as their property. You know that, right? The universal white race and supremacists, they claim you as soon as you're born. Your mother and father fill out that birth certificate, you belong to the state.
Right.
You fill out a Social Security card that indebtens you more to the state. You really become a slave. So we don't belong to the state. We don't belong to the system. We are Yah's property. But we have sinned like our ancestors. And your question? What's your question?
Just a few lines. You hit something. In 18 songs, I love you, oh Yah, my strength. Yah is my rock and my stronghold and my deliverer. My El is my rock. I take refuge in him. My shield and my horn of my deliverance, my high tower. Call upon Yah, the one to be praised, and I am saved from my enemy. The cords of death around me and the floods of Baal made me afraid. The cords of grave were all around me. The snares of death were before me. In my distress, I called upon Yah. And to my Elohim, I cried. He heard my voice from his main hall. And my cry went before him into his ears. And the earth shook and trembled. Even the foundations of the mountains were troubled. And they shook because he was white, raw. Smoke went up from his nostrils and consuming fire light from his mouth. Coals were kindled by it, and he bowed above the heavens and came down. And thick darkness was under his feet, and he rode upon a messenger and flew. He flew upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his covering, around him his booth. Darkness of waters defiled the sky. From the brightness before him, his thick clouds passed pale and cold of fire. Yah rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he repaid me. For I did his command, the way of Yah, and have not acted wrongly against my husband. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Try to get back on track here a little bit.
I'm sorry. Hey, I had to, that hit me. I love the Most High.
Let it hit it. Let it hit her.
I love you, O Creator. My strength.
Hallelujah.
That's what you were saying, Katriel.
We have to do that. We have to be worthy by
rock.
Our actions, by our deeds, and by being connected with Yah. But we have sinned like our ancestors.
Right.
We have done wrong. We have done evil. And we have to acknowledge it. We have to confess it. We have to repent. Not just acknowledge it, but repent. Turn from our wicked ways. He says our ancestors in Egypt failed to appreciate your miraculous deeds. Ain't that a fact? They had firsthand view of Yah's power. Abraham didn't see that, our father. Nor did Isaac, nor did Jacob. The Most High dealt with them in a lesser way, but a more powerful way. Because if you show those wonders and signs to me, I'm convinced that we're dealing with the creator of the universe, what our father saw coming out of Egypt. They fail to remember your many acts of loyal love, because you showed them mad mercy. at every turn, our ancient fathers rebel. They complain, they murmured, they moaned and groaned every step of the way. And I don't see us changing.
Uh-uh.
And they rebelled at the sea, by the Red Sea. Yet he delivered them for the sake of his reputation. He only did it because of his reputation, because he was angry enough to kill them for their rebelliousness. But Moses prayed for them. Don't kill them. What the nation's going to say? You just brought them out here to kill them? And Yah said, okay, you're right. That he might reveal his power, which he did. See, he's not going to reveal his power and we not be loyal to him again. Oh, no. That's why we have an open book test now. You feel
didn't
me?
Did he want to start something with Moses?
Yes.
Moses?
He said,
yeah.
Step out the way, Moshe. I'll make a nation, not a religion. I'll make a nation out of you.
Yeah.
Moses said, no, no. Don't do that, Yah, please. I love my people. You love your people. Show them mercy. And he did.
Mm-hmm.
He listened to Moses. He said, he shouted at the Red Sea and it dried up. Oh, you don't want to hear Yah shout. He led them to the deep water.
Cartrell.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know Yah was humble enough to listen to Moses?
Oh, yeah. Because of love. True love.
Yep.
He really, really, really loved Moses.
Right.
He said, I talked to Moses as if he, you know, face to face.
Right.
No other man. He ain't said that about Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob, or any other of our great ancestors. He said, with Moses, I talked to him face to face. So he really, 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 really loved Moses. And he listened to Moses' prayer. Moses prayed, fell down in his face. Said, don't do it, Yah, please. Yah, he either. Three times, not once, not twice. But three times. Imagine if they had AK-47s and 45s on their hips.
Mm.
They would have been in trouble. Because Moses would have raised that staff and the earth would have swallowed them up.
Mm.
Yep. Yeah, he delivered them for the sake of his reputation that he might reveal his power, not just to Israel, but to the nations that witnessed it. He shouted at the Red Sea and it dried up. He led them through the deep waters as if it were a desert. He delivered them from the power of the one who hated them. Now only the Most High could dry up a sea as if it were a desert. How do you do that? Oh, he shouted. That's right. He has the power to do that. Told the sea, go someplace else right now. Let my people pass. He rescued them from the power of the enemy. Who rescued us from the power of the enemy? It wasn't Jesus. Oh, it wasn't him.
Mm-mm.
The water covered their enemies. Not even one of them survived. They believed in his promises. They sang praises to him. But they quickly forgot what he had done. They were singing, what have you done for me lately?
Mm.
They did not wait for his instructions, just like now. They're leaning on their own understanding. We're not waiting for Yah's instruction. We're not following the ones he's left us to do. In the wilderness, they had an insatiable craving for meat. They challenged Elohim in the wastelands. He granted their requests, then struck them with disease. Yeah, Yah's the one who brings diseases upon you. Based on your evil ways. In the camp, they resented Moses, their own brother, who went to great lengths to help save them, and Aharon, his brother, Yah's holy priest. How could we do that? But that's what we do to our leaders, don't we?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
we turn on them like Doberman pinchers.
Mm-hmm.
The earth opened up, oh, there you go, and swallowed up Dathan, and engulfed the group led by Abarim. They didn't know what happened to them. Do you know they say the voices of Datum and Abiram and their company can still be heard today from a pit in the Middle East?
Really?
I guess yes. They sold down there in Sheol.
No doubt. And there's a fire that burns to this day that doesn't go out.
Hmm.
This fire burned up their group. and flame scorched the wicked. They made an image of a calf at Horeb. Imagine that. After all that Yah did for them, they were still carrying that golden calf around in their heart that they saw in Egypt and worshiped a metal idol. Do we still worship metal idols today?
Yep, they got crosses on their neck.
Same old people. They traded their majestic Elohim for the image of an ox that eats grass. Ain't that a damn shame? The one who made the ox that eats grass. The one who made the ox that eats grass. Who made the grass that the ox eats. And the earth that the ox is standing on. You'd rather worship that than the one who created it. They rejected the Elohim who delivered them. The one who performed great deeds in Egypt. Amazing feats in the land of Ham. Why is that so important? They keep mentioning Egypt as the land of Ham. Amazing. Can't get around it, can you, Yom Suf? Because anytime you see the Ten Commandments and they show Yul Brynner sitting on the throne of Egypt, and he's from Russia, come on now. He definitely ain't no Hamite. Because they tell us the Ham was cursed what? Black.
Oh, Canaan.
Ham was cursed black. So they say.
Yeah.
Western institutions will teach our children.
Ooh.
That's why they justify the transatlantic slave trade. You know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know which pope it was, but he said, yeah, you can make them slaves because Ham was cursed to be a servant. And Ham was never cursed, was he? So we know that Egypt was Ham. So anytime you see the Ten Commandments, you can say that's a big lie. Mighty acts by the Red Sea. He threatened to destroy them. But Moshe, his chosen one, interceded with him and turned back his destructive anger. That's what we just spoke about. They rejected the fruitful land. They did not believe his promise. They grumbled in their tents, and they did not obey Yah. That's what we do today, don't we? We don't believe in Yah's promise that he's going to give us our inheritance of the land, do we? Do we really believe that? Or are we grumbling in our tents? And not obeying Yah. So he made a solemn vow that he would make them die in the wilderness, which he did. Make their descendants die among the nations and scatter them among foreign lands. And here we are, lo and behold. They worshiped the Baal of Peor and ate sacrifice offering to the dead of the dead. That's church right there, right? The body and the blood of Jesus Christ. They ate sacrifice offered to the dead, the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the same thing. The
sound
worship
like
of the Baal.
Huh? Yeah. Sound like cannibalism,
all that. And guess what? It makes Yah angry by the actions. And the plague broke out among them.
COVID-19.
Yeah. Mm. You wonder why these plagues are breaking out. Oh,
and they're going
you
eat
a body and the blood of somebody? And witchcraft sacrifices, they sacrifice children here in America, witchcraft. Trust me, them practices are still going on. Still going on. Matter of fact, they take in our people's body parts. Right?
Right.
They call it organ snatches, the black market, donations, no. They killing people and taking their organs. Ain't no donation. They made a movie.
Donors. That's what it is, too. They use that.
No. You ain't donating if they kill you and just take it by force.
No, I'm agreeing with you. But another
clause.
There
is organ donation. They tell you to put that on the back of your license.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Also, it's a ploy. But
yeah.
We know the truth. That's one of part of the evilness. But also, they are taking part. It's a big business. You're right.
Mm-hmm. So we need holy men, righteous men like Moses and the descendant of Aaron, the high priest we're getting ready to mention, High Priest Pinchas, took a stand and intervened, and the plague subsided. He didn't need no vaccine for them. What was the intervention? A Levite priest had to take action to stop the plague. America has never taken a day of prayer since COVID-19 broke out, have they? We need a national day of prayer for the 600,000 people that have lost their lives, that alone. And we pray that the Most High stay to play. Not once has America done that, have they? Anybody went for their vaccination, second shot, booster shot? No. That's not the answer. That is not the answer. They made him angry by the words of Mirabah, and Moshe suffered because of them. How did Moses suffer? Because Moses got angry with them. Like, I asked y'all not to kill y'all 3 times, and y'all still at it. Y'all are still at it. And when he struck the rock, instead of speaking to the rock, the Most High said, no, Moses, you must obey me all the way, not some of the way, but all the way. So therefore, you're not going in the land. Right? That's why Moshe suffered. But they aroused his temper, and he spoke rashly. They did not destroy the nations as Yah had commanded them to do. They mixed in with the nations and learned their ways. They worshipped their idols, which became a snare to them. They sacrificed their sons and daughters to demons. That's what we're seeing now in America. They sacrificed their women and children to demons in order to retain power. Y'all know that, right?
Yeah.
They shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of the Canaanites. The land was polluted with bloodshed. Is America polluted with bloodshed?
That's what it's called.
Oh, yeah.
Bloodshed.
America was built on blood, mm-hmm. and the blood has never been expiated. When blood is shed, it has to be expiated. And if it's not expiated, blood adds to blood. Blood calls for blood. And the land becomes polluted. They were defiled by their deeds and unfaithful in their actions. So Yah was angry with his people and despised the people who belonged to him. There's no getting around that. We belong to Yah one way or the other. First of all, he created us. Everything he created belongs to him. But he took special time to say, I'm choosing these people, this nation, above all nations. And that's a privileged position to be in. But we messed it up. He handed them over to the nations, and here we are. And those who hated them, those who hate us, guess what? They still rule over us, don't they? And ain't a damn thing we could do about it, can we?
No.
Their enemies oppressed them every day. They were subject to their authority. So how are we doing the law of Yah, and we subject to their authority? Tell me. We subject to people that hate us, who oppress us. We're subject to their authority, and we're doing Yah's law? Oh, no. Many times he delivered them. No, we have to be delivered in order to serve Yah. He told Pharaoh, let my son go, that he may what?
Worship me in
the wilderness. Serve me. We can't serve Yah if we're in captivity and bondage. Oh, no, that's not how it works. Many times he delivered them. But they had a rebellious attitude. Think of that word. That's what they say about us, right? Niggas with attitudes.
Mm-hmm.
We're the only people on earth that they attribute them to.
NWA.
Yeah.
You ain't lying.
And when we have attitude, we degrade ourselves by sin. Attitude and we're rebellious. It says we degrade ourselves by our sin. Yet, he took notice of their distress, and he heard their cry for help, which is what he will do, because he sees our distress. But you know what the problem is? We're not crying out for help from him. We're crying out for help from the people that's oppressing us. What sense does that make?
Mm-hmm.
What sense does that make? You asked me earlier.
The definition of insanity.
Yeah. See, but Yah said he remembered his covenant with us, even though we forgot. Have we forgotten the covenant with him? We don't even care about the covenant with him. What covenant are you talking about? Yeah, there's a covenant. He owns us. We're his property. And relented because of his great, loyal love. You know the loyal love he's talking about? To Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Because we haven't been loyal to him. He loves Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He swore by his name that covenant is everlasting. That's why no matter what we do, he's going to still love us. He causes all their conquerors. How many are their conquerors?
Oh.
He causes all our conquerors to have pity on them. And we just read about that with King Ahasuerus, right? He had pity on us, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He was about to be destroyed. King Ahasuerus said, oh, I made a mistake. I got to reverse that. If he didn't reverse that, we probably wouldn't be sitting here talking today.
Hmm.
Deliver us, O Yah Elohim. Gather us from among the nations. Who's going to gather us?
Mosai.
Y'all going to gather us.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way. Well, we got to gather ourselves. Yah helps those that helps themselves. You have to take the first step. Gathering has to be in your heart. You don't want to gather. Hey, you're outside of the gathering. Then we will give thanks to your holy name and boast about your praiseworthy deeds, because it's going to take some serious deeds to gather us today. Yah Elohim of Israel deserves praise. Hallelujah. In the future and forevermore, and this is the future generation that he's talking about, so we give praise, and even beyond our generation. Let all the people say, we agree. Praise Yah. Hallelujah. What a powerful
praise
word. What a powerful song.
Sister Yehuda.
Yes.
In closing, my sister, my dear sister, what is your commentary?
I'm just soaking all this in. It's always lovely to hear Katriel explain it so simple. We have choices. He gave us free will. And he wants us to make the right choice. If you say you love me, people say, well, you're going to do my commandments. Well, how can you do his commandments if you don't love your brother or your sister?
Amen, sister.
Your nation. He didn't deal with us individually. He dealt with us as a nation.
Amen.
That's it. Because Katriel said it all. Thank you, Katriel. Bring the most.
My pleasure.
Well, thank you, Sister Yehuda. And I want to thank you.
Get off. This is just wonderful. You're welcome. I'm sorry. Go ahead. It's just.
And I want to praise the Most High for you help facilitating bringing Katriel and I together to do the work of the Most High. Katriel and I are sort of like Joshua and Caleb, so to speak. And so I want to praise Yah and thank you, Yah, because Katriel, he's been a blessing to the show. He's been a blessing to me, certainly. And he's been an added addition. And that's the best thing you could have did for the Real Talk for Real People show. And I want to thank you for doing that.
Praise God. Thank you. You're welcome.
Okay.
I'm so honored to be here. And that's pretty high praise. And I mean, it's just simple study. It ain't all that. But I'm thankful that the Most High put me in a position to have somewhat of understanding, because I don't claim to understand it all. But we need to sharpen each other to lift each other up higher. We all climbing Jacob's ladder, and we ain't reached the top yet.
Exactly. Iron sharpened iron, Katriel. Bottom line.
No doubt.
I do it because I love my family. Despite our differences, our conflicts with families, that love does not stop. And that's what we must understand. It doesn't stop.
No. It keeps on, sister. It keeps on. And so it should. And thank you very much for pointing that out to the listeners. But Katriel, our dear brother and friend, your closing remarks.
My thoughts, my heart, my prayer goes out to Ima, Adora. At this moment in time, I pray that Yah sends his guardian angels, the healing angels, Raphael, the healing balm of Gilead, bring her back to full strength, full health, that he guides the physicians that's working with her so that she can continue to do her work, her magnificent work that she's doing for the nation. I pray for all our people that are struggling right now at this time, at this moment, because the Most High's putting the pressure on a lot of our people, and our people need God's help. And I pray that we could one day come to one accord like our brothers and sisters in Queen Esther and Mordecai's time, that we could be a one accord and really pray and fast for each other that the Most High will hear our prayer and do the same wonders and marvelous things that he did in ancient times for ancient fathers, even for us in this generation. Because I know he can, he will, and he does. I know he does for me on an individual basis, but mm-hmm. it has to be like nationwide, worldwide for our people.
Ooh, yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I want to thank Sister Yehudith. I want to thank Katriel. I want to thank you fellow suitors for joining with us. Why? Not because you feel that Katriel and I or Sister Yehudith or something special with nothing. We need you. You need us. And we all need the Most High. And so that being said, we are not your charismatic leader. We're not looking to be one. We're not looking for a special title or anything. We're simply looking to do what the Most High would have us do, which is help, encourage, motivate, and educate one another and love one another and support one another and unify together as we should be. United we stand, divided we fall. That's our problem because we're not united and we continue falling. I want to thank the Most High for Ima Hadora. May he bless her. I want to thank the Most High for Sister Yehudith. May he continue to bless her. I want to thank the Most High for Cartrell. May the Most High continue to bless him. I want to thank the Most High for you fellow students that elected to join forces with us to understand the Most High and its comprehensive, fundamental, simple study. As Cartrell always alluded to, it's an open book test. It's not that hard, especially if you're not leading to your own understanding.
Right.
That being said, Sister Yehudith and Katriel and I, we don't know where you're going, but we do know this for certain. You finna get ready to get out of here. You've been studying with us on the Real Talk for Real People show. But we offer you parting gifts as we go. A new spirit, a new heart. We pray that you pray to the Most High for these. We can take you to the water, but we can't make you drink. We pray at the closing of this show, or perhaps before you lay down tonight, that you ask the Most High for a new spirit and a new heart. That spirit would look like loving them, humble, contrite, steadfast in the Most High, and certainly not leading to your own understanding. That heart would look somewhat like King David, whom the Most High alluded to when he said, King David is a man after my own heart. Ask the Most High for a heart similar in nature like King David, which loved the Most High with all that heart, mind, soul, and strength, and his brothers and sisters as he loved himself. Meaning, it's virtually impossible to love your brothers and sisters if you cannot love yourself. Please ask the Most High to show you how to love yourself. You're not ugly. You're not black. You're not a monkey. You're not an animal. You're not stupid. Whatever names they didn't throw on you, you're not none of those things. You're what the Most High say you are. And ask the Most High to direct you to learn how to love yourself. And let him know, because I can't love my brothers and sisters until I learn to love myself or anything that remotely looks like me. We love you. May the Most High bless you. Shalom and good night.